25. All right, all right, all right. Come alive in 25. Have you changed at all? Have you changed? Man, I hope so. Let's begin this morning. Do you know what? My favorite part. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Man, you came alive in 25 today. That's for sure. I love that. You know, I had lunch with a pastor recently, and I told him, you know, hey, we're talking about coming alive in 25. And I made the comment, some of you guys are asleep still. We only have 3 more months. He said, that's kind of negative. And I thought, I don't know about all that. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying some of you guys are asleep. And by you guys, I may mean in this church, I may mean Christians in general. We are asleep. So turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13 real quick. I say real quick, we'll be in there briefly, is really what I mean by that. Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And it says this, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and for now salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You guys agree? You understand? It's nearer than when we first believed. But it says right there, awake out of sleep. Even believers back then were sleeping. And it goes on to say in verse 12, it says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. It's time for us to change our clothing, some of us, and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. Not let us just walk, let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. For those of us that may be living in strife and envy, as well as those other things as well. But verse 14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. It's truth that I was saying when I said, some of you are still asleep. It's truth. And Pastor Eric and I preach truth. And it's biblical. Our young people, our King's kids came up here last week and told us about the armor of God. And I loved it, by the way. It was beautiful. They did an amazing job. And Tina and Nikki down there with the kids do an amazing job teaching them. But John 13 says, walk properly. Put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of us get up each morning and put on Adam Dilley. I don't mean that you guys do. I mean, I put on Adam Dilley, and you may put on whoever you are. And you give no second thought to saying, oh my gosh, here's this brand new outfit. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why, I haven't worn that, and I don't know how long. I don't even know if it'll still fit. But God's Word says, wake up and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When I do communion out of 1 Corinthians, I reference chapter 11, verse 29 and 30. And I say, for he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. It is biblical to talk about our spiritual faith as being asleep. It can't all be rosy. I get and I understand this is the good news of the gospel. But I'm telling you and warning you about your spiritual aliveness. Whether it is awake or asleep, you might be sleepy or you might be asleep. And I guarantee if I'm in the car with you and you're sleepy and you're asleep and you're driving, I'm going to warn you about it and tell you all about it. Wake up! hey, are you doing okay? Because we almost went in a ditch there. And my life is in your hands. And I need you to be fully awake. Pastor Eric and I preach truth out of the Bible. And it's okay to say, hey, some of you need to wake up. It can't all be rosy. The Bible is the good news, like I said, if you follow it. It contains bad news if you reject it. And it's important that we teach both. That we say, if you don't follow, here's the consequences. We must tell you about both heaven and hell. Because they are both truth. And they are both places that we can spend eternity based on our decisions. Eric and I are responsible and accountable for teaching you and telling you biblical truth. Both sides, the blessings and the consequences. Put on Christ and wake up. You've got 3 months to come alive in 25 if you haven't. We had an amazing discussion Wednesday night in Bible study. And Kisha said, I've heard that at the foot of the cross, it's level ground for everybody. Yeah, okay. However, to get to that cross, some people are coming downhill. And it's a kind of easy, quick ride. They got some momentum behind them and a little wind behind them pushing them down towards that cross. Others are coming straight from the side where it's level. And they just have a smooth ground. And others look up and say, that cross is up there. And yet others look up and say, that is a long ways up to that cross. And so that journey to the cross takes a little bit longer for some. And it's a little bit more difficult for some. And we have to be patient. I haven't even got to the good part of my message yet. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. But I had to preface it by saying we have to talk about the truth. 9 months of the year are gone and we have to wake up. And I also had to make myself be okay with the fact that it's okay to say some of you guys are asleep. Or very sleepy and drowsy, at least. And God says, wake up. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And for many that have been in church, it's a familiar verse. For those that haven't, it'll be new to you. And pay attention then. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Starts out and says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. I've taught on this before. Walk in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Oh, so first of all, we find out the lust of the flesh comes out when we're not walking in the Spirit. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. There's a fight. And the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do these things that you wish. For if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now it says in verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, which has been prevalent these days, as has really all the others, but I'm just talking about in the news, there's a lot of that hatred showing up. Even in Christians? Yeah. Even in Christians, our hatred is coming out in full force, church. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Whew. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. He's repeated himself a few times, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, which means patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and one that takes quite the beating also, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Church, again, the way we walk, the way we carry ourselves day in and day out, is of the utmost importance as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as Christ's ambassador, His representative. How we walk is so important. You read in Romans 13, and it said, Romans 13:13, let us walk properly. Galatians 5:1, walk in the Spirit. And then it gets into the fruit of the Spirit. And in the fruit of the Spirit, it lists these items. These values, these characteristics that we should all endeavor to have and possess, but not keep them secret. They should be reflected in our walk. And I want to talk about one in particular. I want to talk about goodness. I'm really picking one out. Well, you can pick any of the 9 out. And it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit. They say it's the fruit of the Spirit, the one thing. They're all together. I get it. I'm going to talk about one. Goodness. And my message today is just simply called Walking in Goodness. God's goodness. God's goodness in our life should produce and reveal our own level of goodness, should it not? God's love to us should produce the same thing and reveal our love for others. The idea is, do we have this full-length mirror revealing God's love? Or are we sitting there with a little compact mirror? Let me reflect God's love there just a little bit. Hang on, let me. And we're just reflecting a little bit of His love, kind of when we feel like it, and then we don't realize, oops, I've closed the compact mirror, so it's not revealing anything. God's goodness in our life should produce and reveal our own level of goodness. Romans chapter 2, you can turn there if you want. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, I'm just reading that verse only. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God's goodness, His goodness in our life, not His meanness, not His beating us, His goodness leads to our own repentance. Then a little further in Romans chapter 11. Again, you can turn there if you want. Romans 11 verse 19 through 24. And it says, then will you say, and listen carefully, because this is important. Then will you say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Now, that's the Bible, not me. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Church, we have to understand both sides, the goodness and the severity, the heaven and the hell, their obedience and their disobedience. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, in other words, if they believe, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? His goodness is allowed each and every one of us who believe to be grafted in or adopted in to God's family. Therefore, we should be doing the same to others and allowing them to be grafted in. God's goodness can and should lead to our repentance, it says, when and where we can now be grafted in. Maybe we were part of the wild olive tree. And it says, but we can be grafted in, and it says we can be grafted in again. Church, we comfort how? As we have been comforted. We love how? As we have been loved. We also can and should show goodness how? As God has showed His goodness to us. Now, I'm not talking about good works and all that stuff. I'm talking about God's goodness in our life, and then our goodness as we walk out amongst believers and non-believers. Do you believe we're in a battle? Do you believe we're in a battle every day? And I know some of you think, yeah, and I'm on the front every day. And others think, I think we're in a battle every day, but thank goodness I'm back doing administrative work. I'm not as close to that, but I know we're in a battle. We're in a battle daily. And several weeks back, I did a message talking about praise before battle. And we have to praise Him when we're in the midst. You see, I look around at young couples, older couples. I'm trying not to eyeball anyone specifically, but Jim and Jan, you guys have an anniversary tomorrow, do you not? How many years? 47. All right. Do you believe you're in a battle daily? Not with each other. I didn't say that. Joshua Rojo, tomorrow's your anniversary. You've been married 1 year. 1 year. Do you believe you're in a battle daily? Again, not with each other, but they're in a battle daily. You see, it doesn't matter our age. They're going to go through things. They've been through things. They've been through things. Goodness. Goodness is God's character showing up in our choices. If you take notes, it's worthy of writing down, church. Goodness is God's character showing up in our choices. And by the way, it's okay if you don't take notes. But man, I hope you remember those things. Because those things are hard to pull up. My wife and I have always said we need to keep a book of Eric's gems. Because Eric has some gems. Trust me, people. He is a wise man, and he has nuggets that are valuable for use daily. I remember many of them. As we go through battle, Eric did a message. It's been a while back, but he talked about a tree, and he talked about all that digging and all the manure it takes to make it grow. And he said, so sometimes when you think and you feel all that poking and prodding and you get a whiff of that manure, know that God's at work and he's growing you. And we have to press through. We have to understand to press through. The fruit of the Spirit does not keep us, listen carefully, it does not keep us from trials or battles. The fruit of the Spirit doesn't keep us from those things. Matter of fact, the Bible says, if we believe, we will have trials. I think that was in your message, Adonijah. You talked about that. We're going to have them. The fruit of the Spirit shows two things. Number one, how deep our faith walk is. Because those things will come to the forefront. And number two, how we respond to battles and trials. When we respond to those things, how is our love for one another in the midst of trials? Family members, friends, co-workers, strangers. How is our joy when we face trials? I've thrown it out the window. I'm not happy. You still have joy in the Lord. How is your peace? I keep thinking about Jesus in that boat. And when he stood up in the midst of that turmoil and he hollered out, peace. Sometimes we have to command peace in our lives and in our turmoil and in our battle. Do I really have to battle you? Can one of us just call out peace? How's our patience in the midst of trials? How's our kindness? Well, that'd be nice, but they were rotten to me, so I'm going to be rotten back. That's the Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. It's another Spirit. Faithfulness, gentleness. And when I said it takes a beating quite a bit, self-control. And then goodness. When we're in the midst of trials and battles, how does that come up? Let me read this. It may be familiar to some of you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. And when I hear that, I think, surely, goodness and mercy should come out of me and be expressed and shared with others. I want to close with these two scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, for it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than doing evil. That was 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. And the other one is Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And I want you, church, especially you soldiers, I want you to listen carefully. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those or of the household of faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for those soldiers that are weary today. Those that have battled, Lord, some for years. They have been faithful servants. Lord, they have fought the enemy and they are tired. God, I lift those people up that are just starting to do battle, that may be growing in their faith, growing in relationships, whatever it is, Lord, that they may be weary just from lack of practice or exercise, lack of history in battle. But God, I pray today that you raise up an army, that you raise up soldiers, Lord, that fight for you and your goodness and righteousness. God, where we are asleep or where we are sleepy, God, you would wake us out of that sleep. You would wake us out of our spiritual slumber. For your word says we do not know the time or the hour. And it warns us to wake up so that we are ready at your coming and at your calling. God, I pray today that we walk in light, that we walk in the Spirit, that we put on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That we walk properly as your ambassadors, as your representatives, God, as your believers, as your followers, God, as your sons and daughters, as your heirs, Lord. I pray that we grow in our wisdom and our knowledge, God, that we are called to serve You. That we are Your instruments to do Your will. God, that through Your goodness, we can reflect that goodness to others. And we can walk in goodness. Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.